Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Mike McDowd. Each commercial break, we are good. What are you doing? Oh, you're doing your wave?
I was trying to do this, but I got a sore shoulder, so I really can't do it right now.
Well, the YouTube people can see that, but the audio can't see that. All right. On each commercial break, we're going to ask a trivia question. Today's trivia theme is music bands. All right? You'll understand when I get into it. Now, today we do have a special guest. Mike, do you want to introduce him?
I'd say he's rather special. I had the opportunity, and he doesn't remember because I just asked him this, but he kind of remembers. I met him at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco, California, USA, where he was sitting behind a desk as the athletic director of the Urban Knights of Art U. And we had a great, engaging conversation. His name, well, you know, a lot of people in the NFL know him as Jamie Williams, but guess what? Jamie added some letters to the rest of his names. It's Dr. Jamie Williams, a PhD. He is a Renaissance man. He is a nice man as well. We're going to have a great conversation with him. He's standing by. Jamie, I know we're not talking to you quite yet. You ready to do this?
No, almost, because this is our quick little intro segment where we do just a 2-minute quick intro. And just before we go, I'm going to I remember when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl, and I believe it was New Orleans, and they decided to interview Jamie as he's kind of walking down Bourbon Street. And if I'm not remember, you had the certain kind of dregs.
Had the dreadlocks, yes.
I remember that.
Yes. The only person in the league, the first and only.
Okay, there we go. All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back with Jamie Williams.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in 4 distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
Voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Mike McDowell and our special guest, former 49er tight end. I mean, you played for like four or five different teams, but I think most people know you for playing with the 49ers because you won a Super Bowl with them.
That is true. But I mostly played for the Oilers half my career and then the 49ers. You know, I had one stint with the Cardinals when I was a rookie, and then I finished up with the Raiders for 1 year as I was trying to get closer to Hollywood, being a film major.
Oh, that's right, because back then the Raiders were back in they were back in L.A., weren't they, at that time?
They were in L.A., It was pretty interesting. So on off days, because I was a vet, I wasn't running around like the other guys. I was on somebody's set, you know, watching productions or reading screenplays or whatever. But that was a passion. And like you, I came up in college as a broadcast journalism major. I think I'm a master's in it. So it was fun. It was very creative, very fun.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jamie, you're no stranger to the microphone, film. You've done it all. You do it all. Fort Pierce, Florida. And then that's where you were born. And then you grew up in, was it Davenport, Iowa? Home of the Davenport Cubs, right?
Also home of the Central High School Blue Devils, which Roger Craig also played at.
I was going to get to that. Because we want to talk about, was it Davenport Central, right?
Central, the Blue Devils.
And I know we're going to talk about this because in our brief conversation, I say, you're going to be inducted into your school's Hall of Fame. I don't want to quite hit that right now, but, heck, why not? You're bringing it full circle. You're going to be inducted into your Hall of Fame. Is that an accurate statement? It's kind of full circle for you?
It really is full circle.
Why did it take so long?
That's what my classmates keep saying, because I'm in some other Hall of Fames. And then the last one is a high school. And it's kind of appropriate because it's very nostalgic, you know, and I'm at an age now where we're losing people. And so so now this is going to bring back a lot of the guys that we had a championship team with and a historic team. We're undefeated and we're just highly ranked. I think we're ranked in the top five in the nation as a high school. And so for me, it's not only the act, because I was an All-American in three sports, but I was also I was the captain of the poetry club for the school, and the student council president.
There you so go. That was crazy, man. That's pretty well-rounded. So, I like that.
I always knew how to unplug and go do something different, right? Yeah. And that's where I really started the creative writing stuff. And I was just a cat that enjoyed the escape of the sport, which was, you know, you're with your buddies and you're going hard and trying to, right? But the same thing in the classroom. I mean, you got challenges. You know, you're learning, you know, you're learning about terminal velocity in physics, you know, and proving that objects fall at the same rate. That was fascinating to me, you know. And it was so different than sport, but it helped me in sport because, you know, the computer was always on.
Well, you figure if, let's see, I guess, did you play with both Steve Young and Joe Montana?
I did. But before that, Warren Moon.
Warren Moon, yeah. I love that guy. Right. Oh, my God.
We were just texting each other the other day because there's a great series on Prime Video with Michael Vick talking about the evolution of the black quarterback, which was my master thesis.
Oh, wow. I mean, because yes. It's amazing. Ever since Doug Williams, you know, I mean, it really just kind of came up, Mahomes and all these other guys, incredible. But, you know, it's funny. Every time I think of Warren Moon, I keep thinking about them losing against the Bills in the playoff. I keep looking at that going, you know, Warren played a great game, but the defense just let him down.
That was frustrating. And that's the thing I always say to people is that they put so much pressure on the quarterback, but the quarterback does not play defense. Yeah. Now, if the defense is shutting them down, then there's a lot of responsibility on the quarterback. But when the quarterback's doing his thing and spinning it, and these guys can't stop anybody,
With your physics knowledge, did you help Steve Young and Joe Montana with, you know, okay, if you're going to throw 70 yards, this is the angle that you want so that it falls exactly at this trajectory?
That's funny you said that because, you know, at lunchtime, that's when guys come around and we just kind of mess around before practice. And I did do some physics on them because I had a few guys in there that were a little bit Neanderthal.
It's funny with basketball. I've actually heard that there is because of the way the hoop is, and also I guess it depends on how tall you are. But it's like there's a certain angle that's like the perfect angle to shoot a basketball. I can't remember if it's like 37 degrees or 25 degrees or whatever. But
there's some truth to that too, because I was more of a basketball player coming up than football. Just that I separated big time in football, but I did used to do some things to this. My goal was to try to get guys to go back and finish their degree. So as I was out there on the field fighting around, rolling around with Lawrence Taylor, then I'd come in the locker room and I'd talk some, I'd talk some Roman Empire with them or about Newtonian philosophy. And he's just like, "Hey, how'd you know that, man? What, Jamie?" I was like, "Dude, I just did the homework."
Well, that's the thing, you know, what an inspiration for the players from the standpoint that, you know, the average football player stays in for like 3 to 5 years at the most on average. You know, obviously, a field goal kicker will be longer, but
3.5.
Yeah. So, you know, unless you're going to get that huge contract really quickly, they're going to have to learn the financial aspect. Like where did you learn? Because obviously you're a smart guy beyond just playing football, from an economic standpoint, you know, how did you manage your money?
Well, you know what? Obviously, when I was coming through, the tight ends weren't making what they're making now. And they were the smallest contracts next to the punter and the kicker, you know, for a long time. So I was always about, what can I do next? You know, what else am I going to do? Because I'm not going to chase linebackers for the rest of my life. And I'm not the QB, right? And so I've always followed my curiosity, you know, things that kind of move me and passion. And I always tell guys, like, if you only got one passion, you're in trouble. You know, there's got to be more things that you want to do. I don't care if it's going out planting tulips. You know, you got to have something.
I was going to say, even in my profession, I started off with a bachelor's in accounting and a master's in tax, and I went from tax and accounting to financial consulting, doing some insurance work, and then doing real estate. So, even that was, I mean, it's still kind of within sort of the same business. realm, but to go, you know, from sports directly into some businesses is amazing. Do you think it's just really quickly, before we go to a break here, just really quickly, is the reason that the tight ends just didn't make as much money, was it just strictly a supply and demand? There were just too many tight ends out there to
No, I don't think so, because I think the tight ends of my era was a little bit more dynamic than the ones now, because the game was different. We didn't have targeting, so you had to be a tough guy. You had to be a Navy SEAL type guy. You had to be by land, by air, by sea, right? So you had to go in the trenches and do dirty work, and then you had to, you know, run against little guys. Now, today, they can put a tight end in the slot, and you can't touch it, right?
Yeah.
You had to figure out how to get off the line, because they'll rip your jersey off, you know? So I think you had guys like Kevin Winslow and what's the guy from the Raiders, Todd Christensen, who were putting up huge numbers, right? But they weren't doing a lot of time blocking. And so back in the day, you had to be a little bit like you had to be like
that's really good.
I think it was his name, great tight end. Played for the Colts in the old days. But anyway, John Mackey.
John
Mackey.
Yeah.
So John Mackey would block you, and he would catch.
Okay, stay with us because we're going to – okay, here's our trivia question. And if you know the answer, don't say anything quite yet. We'll let you answer and come back. Okay, you're talking music here. Dr. Hook and – what's the rest of the name of the band? All right, Dr. Hook and – all right. I think you have to go back to the 1970s for this one, right? Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell and our special guest, Jamie Williams. First trivia question. We're talking music here. Name the band. Dr. Hook and...
And you know, you got me on that one. That's the Hook. They played Dr. Hook at the disco.
Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show. Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
That's a new style.
Okay, the next one's gonna be the
Brothers Johnson, Gap Band, the Jackson 5. You know, I got you, man.
Yeah. Well, by the way, you know it's funny. I saw you mentioned Jackson 5. My wife and I came back from a cruise in August. And in London they had a Michael Jackson tribute, so to speak, show, and it was phenomenal. If you get a chance to see it, especially the one in London, was just fantastic, and it was just makes you cry, and you have all the great songs. They show him as a little kid, and then they keep getting other kids to come in at different ages. It was great show.
Yeah, anyway. He was a little bit older than me, so he was like a peer, growing up watching a kid a little older than you that could sing and dance like that. Right? It was. It was a big deal. And then, of course, we had Prince, and we had this great music era that my kids complained that they didn't get the experience, but they love the songs, right?
Okay.
But back to the athletes real quick for a second, because this is really kind of a pet peeve for me with athletes, and I love athletes who are multifaceted. Ball has become entertainment, right? So they're hanging out with the Hollywood people. I did a little bit of that, too. And it becomes their whole thing. And it's like, that's not the journey. That's not the journey you should take. You should take one where you're well-rounded, right? Experience all parts. And if you look, and I always tell those guys, I said, I'll tell you what, go study Ben Franklin. See all the things he did.
Yeah.
Look at Churchill, okay? Look at all the things that he was good at, almost expert at. I said, they didn't do just one thing. I said, tell you what, go look at Alexander Hamilton and look at all the things that he was proficient at. And the only thing you can do is play football and go to parties. I mean, anytime I think about those guys, I feel like I'm an underachiever. And it's,
the one thing Alexander Hamilton was a little bit of an underachiever was he wasn't as good a shot. With Aaron Burr, but
I'm a history guy now, so let's not go because allegedly he fired in the air.
That's right.
He did. Yeah. He did.
He's a very honorable person.
Wow,
Jamie, I gotta ask you a question. Listen, our special guest Jamie Williams, Dr. Jamie Williams. Houston Oilers, San Francisco 49ers, Los Angeles Raiders, Cardinals, born in Fort Pierce, Florida, Davenport, Iowa. Spent a lot of your childhood. You're a Midwest guy. I think it's really important to establish this, Jamie, but tell us, because I haven't heard you talk about this much, can you tell us about your parents, your family, your role models, because you're a Renaissance man. You're not the average NFL guy whatsoever. Somehow, some way, you were deeply inspired to be in the world of academia and also as an athlete. Tell us about those roots.
Okay, I can definitely do that, and I'll try to be quick here. Well, neither one of my parents graduated from high school, but they came as part of the Great Migration to factories in the north, right? So they had siblings in the Quad Cities, Rock Island, Moline, Davenport, Bendorf. And they came there, they had people there, and there was a lot of jobs. So they were into that, but I had a brother. My older brother, Dennis, was the toughest dude in the neighborhood. So he's the one that taught me competition. He had taught me goal setting. Jamie, when you finish your goal, go find another one. You know, and then the Quad City was interesting, right? Because it was four cities, and you get on your bike and you cross the bridge and you go into another city. You just had to be home before it got dark, right? Yeah. So it was all this exploration, and I compare it to three movies growing up in the Quad Cities, right? So you got Illinois on the other side of the Great River, and you got Davenport, the biggest city of the four. Well, for us, it was like the movie The Sandlot. So we're all doing pickup games, knocking balls over, and always, you know, getting the guy who's most athletic to go get the ball. You know what I'm saying? And try to make it back before the dog gets him. A little bit of Stand By Me, because we had a lot of rural tracks, so we were walking through there, you know, looking for dead bodies and stuff. And then the final one is, and this really captures it, is Stranger Things, the Netflix show. You know, and it's about the kids. You know, the kid, we always felt we were smarter than the adults, and we were definitely going to be the ones that find aliens, right? And so besides the sports stuff, we were running around doing kid stuff, right? That was really pure. It wasn't, there was no drama. There was no drama. It was just the kids doing their kid thing. Yeah. Now, in terms of my zest for information and story, it was Miss Cook, the late Miss Cook in elementary. When I was in fourth grade, I wrote a paper or I did an assignment. She really liked what I did, and she gave me a book, my first novel in fourth grade. And she said, I want you to read this book, and then we'll come back and talk about it. And the book was by Jack London, Call of the Wild. Now, the dog, I mean, I was so in there. I read that book in like 2 days, right? As a kid, right? I read the book 2 days. I bring it back. I said, she said, you finished up? Yes, I did. She said, that dog, man, I love that dog. I need to get a dog like that. They were up in the tundra. And she's like, okay, Jamie. She also George, she gives me another book, The Old Man in the Sea.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, right? And here's this dude that nobody believes in. He goes out and grabs this, you know, catches this big fish, comes back. I come back again. I said, man, what a book. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him, but he showed he could do it. And then she just would give me books, give me books.
Awesome.
By the time I was in sixth grade, I probably read, I don't know, 20, 30 novels.
Wow.
So then school became a lot easier because I've already left the seven blocks I grew up on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm up in Alaska, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm out on the sea. And so my creativity really took off. And then the other thing was, most of my buddies, we all read comic books. And so that was kind of what it was about. You know, there was no drama. There was no getting pulled over by police. There was no burning crosses in your yard. There was no drama. It was just us. And it was very eclectic with females, too. So the females that were faster and tougher than the guys, they hung out. We all hung out together. You know what I'm saying? So that's part of when I go back for the high school thing. Some of those people are going to show up. And I'm going to be candid with you. I'm being a little nostalgic, but that's what set me on course of curiosity and not just looking at the seven blocks I grew up on, looking at the possibilities, you know, that I could do. So I was never afraid of it.
The possibilities are a great word because, Jamie, and correct me if I'm wrong, boy, there's so many questions I want to ask you, but it appears to me in getting to know you a little bit, football does not define you. Football does not define you. That's a pretty fair statement, isn't it?
Sure. It doesn't. But it's definitely part of me, you know? It's part of my masculinity, my courage, my competitiveness, because it's such a raw sport. I mean, it's gladiator with rules, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're out there, guys are trying to hit you as hard as they can, and you got to figure out how to deal with it. And you got a 15 play drive, you're on the 2 yard line, and the quarterback looks at you and calls a play, knowing they're going to run your way, and you got to do something. You got to fry a breathing dragon on the other side, who has to be Lawrence Taylor or Chip Banks or Clay Matthews, and you have to figure out what you're going to do about it. And how are you going to deal with it? Nobody's coming out to hold your hand.
And the game's a lot. the game is a lot harder, you know, I mean, a lot tougher. You know, guys are obviously they're stronger and faster now, but there's so many rules about what you can and can't do and the quarterbacks and all that, that it's like, you know, it was a lot more gladiator when you played.
Oh, no question. Oh my God, no question. I remember one time this quarterback threw the ball and he threw the ball. We were on the side watching. He threw the ball. I think it was a Green Bay quarterback. And threw the ball, 1,001, 1,002. Defense end comes up, picks him up, and slams him. All he got was a personal foul.
I remember Jim McMahon by Charles Martin. Charles Martin was for Green Bay and Jim McMahon for the Bears.
That's the one
and
I'm Charles about. Martin even
had he had a little time. They actually threw him out of the game for that one because, like, literally after he threw it, about 3 seconds later, he picked up.
Yeah. You know, he played for the Oilers for a minute.
Charles Martin
That's he's silly. right there.
Anyway, let's go to our next commercial break here. Okay, this one's a little easier. All right, Buddy Holly and finish off the good. Again, don't say anything yet, but when we get back, we'll see if you know the answer to that one. Again, we're talking 1950s. Come on, yeah, Buddy Holly and blank. Oh no, I thought you guys were going to know this one. All right, let's see if the audience knows this one. Email Edward at sportsecom101.com. The answer to this question: Buddy Holly and what was the rest of his band? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Ecom 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance, with state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is, so you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
For over 30 years, SF Bay Adventures has been the premier boating event and tour resource for the San Francisco Bay. Their flagship schooner, Frida B, is an 80-foot sailboat modeled after traditional tall ships, offering the romance of yesteryear with modern amenities. Groups of up to 49 can rent schooner Frida B for private events such as birthdays, weddings, memorials, and team building. Smaller groups or individuals can also buy tickets to public tours, such as Sunday morning wildlife sails under the Golden Gate Bridge. Visit sfbayadventures.com or email info@sfbayadventures.com to book your adventure.
Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa provides guests with an all lakefront hotel in South Lake Tahoe, where every lodge room and condominium has a view of the lake and mountains. Hotel rooms offer lodge pine furnishings, gas fireplace, and a full lake view. Condominiums offer private bedroom, full kitchen, and living area with a fireplace. Guests can relax or play on over 500 feet of private beach and enjoy a dip in the outdoor heated pool and hot tub that are also lakeside. Elements Day Spa, located inside the hotel, offers individual and couples packages with treatments inspired by Tahoe's nature. The Tahoe Lakeshore Lodge and Spa, located close to all of South Lake Tahoe summer and winter activities. Perfect for individual and group getaways to the lake and mountains. No added resort fees here. Call 800-448-4577 or go to TahoeLakeshoreLodge.com.
just minutes from LAX, the Lum Hotel offers travelers a comfortable and convenient stay in an exciting neighborhood. Its prime location provides easy access to major attractions such as SoFi Stadium, Hollywood Park, and the future home of the LA Clippers. You'll enjoy a fitness center, resort-style pool, and rooftop bar. The perfect spot for dining after a game, enjoying craft cocktails before a concert, or just having a casual dinner. The Lum Hotel just recently opened, so book your reservations now at lumhotel.com. That's lumhotel.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Mike McDowell and Jamie Williams. All right, second trivia question. I think we guys keep you in suspenders here. Buddy Holly and what's the rest of his band?
Well, is it Grasshoppers? I don't know.
Close. The Crickets.
Yes, Buddy Holly and the Cricket.
Yeah. All right. I knew that.
All right. And it's funny.
You're afraid to go disco, man. You're afraid of that era.
What can I say? Go ahead, Mike. Do you know any
Buddy Holly songs?
Of course. Peggy Sue, you know, and... That's just one, but go ahead.
Listen, Mike. Our very special guest, Jamie Williams, Dr. Jamie Williams, NFL, played in the league for 12 years and just an eclectic guy, a renaissance man. Not your average NFL athlete, not your average man. And, you know, one of the things I got to ask you, you're an Iowa guy.
Yes.
Davenport, mm-hmm. Quad Cities. Mm-hmm. But you did not stay in state. You jumped on over to Cornhusker land and played in Nebraska. Talk about what that was like, because when you played for the Huskers, by the way, Jamie, they were a pretty big deal, weren't they?
Oh, man, it was amazing. You know, we're in the top five every year I was there, you know, in the rankings.
I love Nebraska. I was rooted against Oklahoma. Go ahead.
That was part of the reason I went there, is that they played Oklahoma every year. I love that rivalry. The University of Iowa, I wanted to play basketball there. But the football team was, you know, out front recruiting me, but they had a long time losing streak. And it was like, I wasn't used to that. I'm telling you something. I never had a losing season in any sport until my first year with the Oilers. You know, never faced a losing season. So that was very important to me. I was very big on leadership. I still am. So Nebraska, though, was – at the time, we figured out a way to corner the market. You know, we had the biggest weight room in the country, you know. It was the whole side of a stadium. And it was very ethical compared to other sports. I mean, we weren't SMU. We weren't Oklahoma. We weren't sliding stuff under the table. We were just like, you're going to work hard, you grind, you earn it, and then you're going to be in, right? They did have a level of seniority, you know. Very rarely you saw freshmen play, and you had to go and cook in the oven, you know, before you were let out. Now you have freshmen coming in, and they're running the show. I'm like, excuse me? What? You know what I'm saying? And so, I do think you need to learn. It's kind of like the native tribes when they take the young ones out to show them how to take down bison and buffalo. You know, you watch for a while. You watch what we do, and then we'll let you go take down a deer or something, right? So, I think football's a lot like that. And I know when I came in the league, in the pro leagues, I was definitely leaning in on veterans. Because these guys, you know, when I first came in the league, they were smoking cigarettes at halftime. And it was like, whoa, man, this ain't the Midwest. You know what I'm saying? But you had to watch how they do things because they didn't waste much energy. And they became good. So that's how I grew up in the industry.
What kind of influence and head coach did Tom Osborne, your head coach, have on you? Because he was a legend.
Yes. He had an amazing influence on me. And, you know, I had all kinds of people coming to the house, Notre Dame, Texas, all these cats when I was coming out of high school. And coach would come, Coach Osborne. And my mom, she's the only one. I mean, he's the only one that she said, I like that man. It's very simple. I like that man, right? And that obviously resonated with me he sat down and had soul food with her. And a lot, there were coaches that came in and said, hey, Jamie's going to be a pro. He's got that body. He could do it if he does this and that. And my mom would look at me. And then remember I said earlier that she didn't have her high school diploma. She'd look over at me and she'd go, Jamie, just get a degree. That's what she said. And that followed me, man, like a shadow, right? So even if I wanted to have fun, just use a shadow there, just get a degree, Jamie. So I got a few for her.
Yeah, it really sounds like you honored your parents with your academic achievements. Is that about right, or is that true?
Especially my mom, yes, especially my mom, because she wanted to get her diploma. High school diploma, and we've never got around to it. Never, there's always too busy, too many things going on. But she was very smart, though. She's very street smart and wisdom smart.
Yeah,
you know,
is she still around?
No. Uh-huh. I lost her in 2018. But she was a sweet soul, and the main reason I have work ethic, and the main reason I have ethics, you know. Like, I don't, I'm not wired to be stupid. And you see some people are. And unfortunately, athletics has a lot of that. And you gotta temper them, you know what I'm saying? As a vet, upperclassman, I was always like, slow down, chill out. You don't need to do that. Why would you do that? And take them through the whole steps, right? That's doing stupid.
Well, you made good decisions. You know, a lot of it's decision making. You know, some people just don't make good decisions, you know.
Well, I think one of the things, I think this is very important, this is for business and anything else, is that if you have short vision, you're not really going anywhere. You know, a lot of young people have short vision. As a leader, you have to have long vision. You know, you have to think further way down the road, right? What's there and how I'm going to get there? You know, what do we have to do to transverse the Rubicon? Whatever. A lot of young people, they just can't see far enough, right?
Yeah.
In their decision making, and that's always frustrating to me. So what I try to do is pay it forward and tell them a little story, you know, when I run into them and nudge them a little bit, nudge them. It's no different. And people think like some of these movies that you see are silly, but they use universal truths, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Star Wars. It's not, you know, the first one is not very, you know, this sci-fi stuff is not, the graphics aren't that great, right? The acting's not that great, but the metaphors are great.
Yeah,
you're not yet a Jedi. Yeah, we know you got some NIL money and you did some good stuff in high school, but you're not yet a Jedi.
Maybe the acting wasn't good, but the sound is fantastic. And the reason I have to say that,
boom,
a good friend of mine is. That's the music part of it. But the sound, like a good friend of mine is we go over his house almost every week to watch a movie, and he gives us a little Q&A type thing because he was the sound guy for all of George Lucas's stuff. I mean, he's won like 4 Academy Awards and he's a very humble guy. But it's so I always have to say that, you know, it's like the acting might not be good, but the sound.
No, the film guy, you're spot on. I mean, those guys bring the magic, man. You know what I'm saying? The sound, the laser shots and all the things blowing up and how a freaking Wookiee's supposed to talk. I mean, that stuff is pretty cool stuff. People don't even think it's like,
he actually created the sound for the laser, you know, the
lightsaber.
So pretty interesting stuff. We have a few more minutes here.
I got one for you though, and I think about this when I think of sports sometimes. Is in that movie with John Williams, you know, doing the composing, my cousin John. Anyway, there's he gives each character, main character, own leaf motif. And you know that, you know, that's like where your theme song. Dun, 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 you know what I'm saying? From Darth Vader, you know Darth Vader's coming. I thought that was so interesting because people do carry that kind of aura. Like that here they come and here's their theme, you know, coming in, right? So anyway. I digress a little bit to the film side.
My dad used to tell me, and I can't remember the name of the show, but when he was younger, he would listen to the radio, and whenever he would hear like it's something scary, it would be deely deely dum dum dum, and so everyone's like, that was the scary thing that was going to happen.
Hey, Jamie, you mentioned John Williams, and I just a side note. I know that he wrote the fight song for the UCLA Bruins. Just because it sounded too, the original UCLA fight song sounded exactly like the Cal fight song. So he wrote that. He wrote the new UCLA fight song. It's been around for a number of years. I just want to make a side comment. But you're no stranger to Hollywood, and you were involved in a pretty iconic film, Any Given Sunday. Tell us about your involvement. What was it like to work with Oliver Stone? What kind of guy was he? Was he nice? Was he intense? What was he like?
Oliver was very nice. He was definitely nice to me. And sometimes he was nice to other people, but sometimes it was a reason. But he was definitely a unicorn. You know, he was one of a kind, his own style, his own view of the world and his wrongs and his rights, right? Working with him over that time was definitely going to grad school enhanced, you know, because the guy just, he knew his stuff. He knew it sideways, diagonal backwards. He was open to being flexible on theme and things like that, that I really like, because he let me do some things that I was hoping to do. And for him to give me an opportunity, you know, to write the first screenplay, you know, be the initial writer was bananas. I was a reluctant actor, so I'll give you this story. So again, and I told him this at the beginning, I says, a lot of people think they know football. They don't know football. They see it from a fan's perspective. That's how they report it. That's how, but you don't know what's going on in the game within the game, right? There's all kinds of stuff. There's ballroom brawls in the locker room. Nobody sees. They wonder how this guy got a fat lip. There's women involved in different ways. What I'm saying is there's the wives, and the wives don't look at the girlfriends because the girlfriends aren't a wife, so they don't give them any respect. And it's all these little games coming in, right?
Or just the thing is, like, when you come back off the field, you know, you got a coach or assistant coach talking to you about something that we rarely see as the audience, unless there's some, you know, hullabaloo going on.
Oh, that is true. But I'll tell you something that was interesting. So, and I knew this was going to happen, right? Because again, you know, if you're studying Fellini, which I did, or Rossellini, or Eisenstein, you know, you study these guys and how they make film and how they get to the real, put the real on the film, right, as opposed to the fake. And one of the first huddle scenes we had, one of the first huddle scenes, these guys are in there talking, Jamie Foxx, LL Cool J, they're there talking, and I'm like, we don't say that. That's not in the huddle. That's not what we do. So I go in and say, no, you wouldn't say this, and you would say this. And they go, well, what would you do? And so I play each part. You'd say this, and then you'd look over him, and then you'd say this. And Oliver goes, wardrobe. Yeah. You're an actor now. That's how you make an actor. It was pretty crazy.
I love that. All right, you guys ready for our last commercial break here? All right, here's our last trivia question. Manfred Mann's... What's the rest? Manfred Mann. Remember the name of his band?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Wow, I thought it would be the hard one. All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back with some closing comments. Do not touch that dial.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell and our special guest, Jamie Williams. Third trivia question. The guys think they know this one. The name of the band, we're talking music here, Manfred Mann's?
Something Overdrive?
No, that's Bach's Turnover Drive. And Mike, go ahead. What's that?
Manfred Mann and the Something Band. I can't think of it.
Yes, I know. It's kind of an odd thing. Manfred Mann's Earth Band. I'll have to come up with different questions next time. I didn't know at the time I came up with the questions. I didn't know you were going to be on. We could have come up with ones, but that's okay.
In our era, the music was so freaking good. I don't care if hard rock, soft rock. Jazz, country.
Blinded by the Light. I know Bruce Springsteen did it, but Manfred Mann's he did a really good job on that one. All right, you guys ready for our thoughts of the day? Here we go. So when people tell me you're going to regret that in the morning, I sleep until noon because I'm a problem solver. And just remember, a diamond is just a lump of coal that did well under pressure. How's that?
That's a good one.
I've heard that one.
Yeah.
All right. And Jamie, you read a lot more than I do. I mean, I tell you, for the first 10 years, I think all I ever read was Harold and the Purple Crayon because there was no words. It was all pictures. In fact, it's so funny. I got my master's degree in tax mostly because I didn't have to do a thesis. I didn't have to read. It was the hardest program because you had to, you know, tax. I mean, right? It's hard, but we didn't have to read as much. And I didn't have to write as much, but I had to think a lot. All right, our special guest, Jamie Williams, former tight end of the 49ers, also St. Louis Cardinals, Raiders, Oilers, and there was one more team.
The 49ers.
That was the first one I said.
That's it.
That's it. Okay, we got them. All right, we got them all. All right, audience, tune in next week, Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
I read all about Bar the Elephant books.
That's it.